Thanks for listening to the Susie Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. Welcome, welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you listen often enough, you've heard me say many times that I'm just seeing and hearing about this everywhere I turn. God is strategically moving people around. He's taking pastors out of retirement. He's taking this person, moving them across the country. Have you noticed it? I know you have because I've heard from you. Maybe you're even sensing the winds of change blowing now. Well, today you're going to hear about one such story, and I'm super excited about today's show. Not only are you going to hear from two really important people, but also I think you're going to get a lesson on how to process major life transitions when God is asking you to do something that seems absolutely crazy. I'm so excited about today's show. We've got a new president over Northwestern Media and the University of Northwestern St. Paul. He is an answer to our prayers. Truly, truly, he's exactly the person to help us navigate the season in these next seasons that we're entering, in the times that we find ourselves in. I will say selfishly, there's a great bonus and a blessing that came along with Dr. Corbin Hornbeek, and that's his wife, Heather. I love this girl. She and I had dinner with another friend, Julie, a few weeks ago, and I felt like I'd known her forever. She is a deep well, as her husband just said, and she's a great gift to the kingdom. So today we're going to get their backstory of their faith journey. We're going to talk about how to navigate change when God calls you to step out in faith, and even how to discern the times and how to keep a winsome, joyful heart in the middle of what seems like chaos in the culture. I want to know from you, do you sense the winds of change blowing? Have you recently made a big change, or do you sense one is coming? Maybe you've got questions or comments about that. You can text me 877-933-2484. So let me tell you about my guests and we'll get this conversation started. Dr. Corbin Hornbeek, he's a leader in Christian higher education and world missions and has been for nearly 30 years. He began his term as president of the University of Northwestern St. Paul and Northwestern Media in August of 2022. It's almost been a whole school year. Wow. Dr. Hornbeek earned a Bachelor of Arts in Music, a Master of Arts in Theological Studies, and a PhD in leadership studies, featuring a concentration in higher education. His personal interests include classical music, running, the outdoors, spending time with Heather and their three adult children. Heather Hornbeek is passionate about her kids, which she considers her primary job. They've been her joy and her delight. She also has a Master of Science in Occupational Therapy and a Master of Science in Marriage and Family Therapy. Both her education and her life journey have given her a heart for the broken and for families. Heather says God is a healer, and His redemption is alive and active. I love how He heals. Never perfect this side of heaven, but it's real and it's powerful and it's affecting generations. Can you see why we got along? Because she's like totally speaking my language. Dr. Hornbeek and Heather, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you so much, Susie. It's good to be here with you today. Thank you so much for welcoming us to your show, and we look forward to sharing a little bit of stories, hopefully encouraging your listeners.
Well, we really are so grateful that you're here, and it's no small thing. These friends moved from California to Minnesota. I know you may be listening from around the world, but that's kind of a big deal. Before we get into your backstory, I would love to know, what's the Lord been talking to you about these days? We'll start with you, Dr. Hornbeek.
Yeah, thank you so much, Susie. First of all, not a day doesn't go by where God doesn't speak to us. And I have a daily quiet time. I begin my day every morning in the scriptures and in prayer. And I don't think any of us can navigate this life with the challenges that we have, with the things that we're asking God to show us and teach us and speak to us. And so I would just, you know, I would start by just saying I encourage all of us and all of your listeners, all of our students at the University of Northwestern, to cultivate a deep daily walk with the Lord. So, you know, interestingly enough, one of the words that's on my mind is the word Sabbath. The Hebrew word Shabbat, which refers to a day of the week. But I think it refers to more than that. It refers to how we organize our life. And it's interesting in the Gospel of Mark, after Jesus has just sent out the disciples two by two, He plans a retreat with them, and they come back, and they've performed miracles, and they have they've seen demons being driven out, and all kinds of manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And he brings it back, and he says, "Come away with me to a quiet place and get some rest." Mm. And so I think sometimes we really need to think, especially those who are in, you know, full-time work, full-time ministry, families, parenting, all of that. We really need to understand how to set aside time to rest. And in our rest, not just physical rest, but spiritual rest, emotional rest, to set aside time to hear from the Lord and what he's saying to us. So that's one of the things I'm thinking about. We don't get a lot of time for rest, so we have we've got to get away with Jesus to a quiet place.
Indeed. I mean, even, you know, those Sabbath moments, but a Sabbath mindset too, where it's not all drive and strive all the time, you know? I've read a number of Sabbath books recently, and there was one where she was talking about the emancipation of the Hebrew people, of the Israelites, out of Egypt, where they were under such backbreaking slave labor, and it was all cost to them and benefit to the Egyptians. Yeah. And so that was in their mindset. And so she said when they were emancipated, God wove a new narrative of Sabbath into the rhythm of their lives. Yeah. But it was so hard for them to grasp it. And I think the longer you go without that mindset, the harder it is to recapture it, don't you think?
Yeah, I absolutely do. And I shared with my leadership team at the beginning of the year, the work that God has called us to, the ministry that God has called us to, we cannot do this work from an empty cup.
Yeah.
We can't try to, you know, slowly refill our cup and drain it. We have to lead our spiritual lives, our families, our marriages, our work, everything we do, whether we're in full-time vocational ministry or other forms of work, just leading our families. We have to do that from a place of a full cup.
Love that.
And that's our responsibility. That's our that's our job, to find that time away with the Lord. It's not a legalistic kind of thing. It's a place where we find that joy and fulfillment, and where God speaks to us and fills our cup on a daily basis.
That's so good. Nobody can do it for you, and you're so right. It feels like an ought to or should do when it's legalistic, but it really is a get to. It just becomes the best thing, right? Yeah, it's so good. Thank you. How about you, Heather?
I would say that God has really been working in my heart and speaking to me on the concepts of obedience and surrender, and moving into this season has been very unexpected in that I have always loved moving and change in my life. I've been very open to that. And I always, you know, went forward with just great anticipation and excitement. And with this move, just because we were going to have to move away from our kids, which is the first time that that's happened, it actually was a change that was very difficult for me. And it took me a couple months to really process it and think about it. And I had to hear from the Lord. I had to also get my data with the kids and really trying to make sure that this was something that was wise and would be good and that God was leading us to. And so that surrender piece really has been a big thing for me. And trusting that even though this may be, has been a little bit more of a difficult step for me, that God has a lot of wonderful things in store. And I've already experienced that from the people that I've met. And just God has been so good. And I want to fully embrace the season, which is a season of adjustment, and not to brush over that, but to really see what he has for me in this season of adjustment and just the surrender that comes with that. So that's been something that's really been on my heart.
Well, thank you for sharing. I mean, really can't underestimate really what a heroic decision you made, Heather. Really, I mean that. I mean, just California to Minnesota. Just let's stop right there. But I mean, to think that you've been so immersed in the lives of your kids, really. And I mean, you are a good mom. You're an involved mom. You're not phoning it in. So for you to have the courage to listen to the Lord rather than your preferences and follow, you know, and I was telling you when we had dinner that, you know, God's will for one doesn't contradict his will for the other. So God's will for Corbin doesn't contradict his will for you or for your kids. And so when I get that in my head and my heart, then I realize God has a good plan for my kids. God has a good plan for me here.
Yeah.
But I know it's not been easy. And I just applaud you and thank you for making the move.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, one thing God has really been speaking to me is just that he can enlarge my world. Like that there's a way to do both.
Exactly.
And I think at first I didn't have a vision for that or see how that could happen, but I feel like it's almost a promise he's given me that show me how to do both and walk that out. And he's been so faithful to do that already. So.
I really believe that there's going to be a day coming when you look back to this season and say, I'm still drawing from it. You know, I mean, because your obedience matters so much to God that you would do that. You know, I just think it's going to be a fruit bearing thing for a long time to come.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. So let's pause here. When we come back, I want to find out your backstory on how you came to Jesus, and was there a time when there was suddenly a turn where you were all in? You know, for some, they'll say steady pace all the way through, but others will say, I stepped into it and then God met me in college or whatever. I'd love to know from both of you how that. Talking to Dr. Corbin Hornbeek and Heather Hornbeek. He is our new president over Northwestern Media and the University of Northwestern St. Paul. If you need a biblical college, I think we're primed for revival. I just think we are. But it's just beautiful campus, great, great place to be. And we're so glad to have you listening today. We'll get more great conversation up ahead. You can text tell me if you are in transition, if you get a sense from God, he's leading you, or maybe you've just made a move. I want to know about it. 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com.
You brought me blessings out of a tragedy. You turned my old song into a symphony. And with your spirit living inside of me, I'm a new creation.
Okay, I have a question for you. If you lived in sunny California with your kids, loved your family, your close-knit group, and the Lord called you and your hubby across the country to the frozen tundra of Minnesota, I'm just wondering, would you go? Because my guest today said yes. My guests today are Dr. Corbin and Heather Hornbeek. Dr. Hornbeek is our new president of University of Northwestern St. Paul and Northwestern Media, which it's an ever-expanding organization. And Heather, you guys making this move again, you're on our, we pray regularly for our leaders, Kev and I, and you guys are on our prayer list. I want you to know, because that's no small thing. But we're talking a little bit about change, transition. How do you make big decisions? How do you get the sense, especially like Dr. Hornbeek said before the show started, especially if that decision seems kind of crazy? How do you discern? So we'll get to that in just a bit, but I want you to text in. I see a number of questions have come in. Is God kind of, you sense change coming for you? Are the winds of change blowing? Do you have a restlessness? You got questions or comments, send them in, and we're going to address as many as we can. 877-933-2484. So, Corbin, if you wouldn't mind sharing just a little backstory in your faith journey, and was there a turning point for you where suddenly it really kicked in for you?
Yeah, you bet. Thank you so much, Susie. I grew up in a really secular family for the most part, and my parents, my mom and dad, were both from New York City and were raised in a very secular environment in New York City, very well educated and had a lot of opportunities that I think they were thankful for. But my mom was the first person in our family to really become a believer. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I mean, that happened after, you know, the train had kind of left the station as far as raising kids. And so we had had there was some spiritual input in our life, you know, a little bit here and there growing up as kids. I had a couple Young Life guys when I was in high school who chased me around my campus. And and we liked to play basketball together. We hung out all the time. But I wasn't interested, really, in Jesus. And so I went to the University of Michigan. My freshman year, if somebody had said, "Do you believe that there is a God in this world?" I would have said, "Maybe, but does it matter?"
Wow.
That was sort of my frame of mind. Mm. And there were some guys in my hall who are involved with Campus Crusade, now called Crew, who really pursued me and pursued a relationship with me and gave me an opportunity to start asking some really, really difficult questions. And Susie, I came to that point during my freshman year in college, at a place like the University of Michigan, where I really had to confront two possibilities. There either was a God or is a God in this world, or there isn't. And for me, it was it was kind of that road or the other road. There either is a God in this world or there isn't. And that middle road of agnosticism, maybe kind of kicking the can down the road, that didn't really make sense to me. Hmm. I thought, well, that's kind of an easy way out of not answering the question. And so I spent about 6 months asking difficult questions, and there were a lot of people that were very patient with me. They didn't have all the great answers. They didn't have all the perfect answers. But there was so much evidence to me, finally, and the real evidence for me that there's a God in this world was the fact that there were things in my life that I did that were really wrong. And I felt bad about that. I knew that there was this thing. Finally, somebody said, that's called sin, right? Yeah. And I thought, well, if there's things that I feel that I've done wrong, where does that sense of morality come from? Wow. And that to me pointed me to the fact that there must be a God in this world who is not only the creator, but also a moral and a good God. Mm, wow. So that was a turning point for me as a freshman at the University of Michigan.
And you know, if the second question would have been, and can you imagine being the president of a Christian university and how many years later? I mean, can you even imagine?
Absolutely not. And neither could my mother have imagined that.
There is a God.
There is a God in this world. Yeah, she prayed for me for a long time.
Wow. So powerful. How about you, Heather?
I was raised in a home where my dad was not a believer and my mom was. So I went to church when I was very little, a number of times. But following that, we didn't go to church as a family growing up. So it was interesting. But I, my grandmother actually was the one who told me about Jesus and how I could ask Jesus into my heart. And I was 3 or 4. And so I did that very genuinely. I wanted that. And my mom was very sweet and in her loving way was always just a godly person in my life. But in terms of learning about the Bible and scripture and really what does God have to say about truth and family and people, I really learned that later in college. But first, let me back up really quickly to when I was young, from like 3 until college. I had this, my relationship with God was really this very sweet prayer life where I would talk to him all the time. He was my best friend. And I really feel like he spoke to my heart in those early stages of my faith. And I think that really developed my heart for God. And then I think it was later in college when I developed my mind for God. And when they really started to come together, it was
that's beautiful.
Just a life-changing
experience. Wow. What a great way to put that. Wow, that's awesome. I see quite a few texts coming in. People have questions about how to navigate change. We're going to get to that in a moment. But Dr. Hornbeek, if you wouldn't mind, tell us what you did at Azusa and what your role was there. And at what point did you all of a sudden get the sense change might be coming?
Well, so I was the vice president for university advancement. So I was in charge of all of the university fundraising advancement operations. So I was really, really intimately involved with the forward-looking future of the university and how do we fund Christian higher education. And that's been my background, the world of philanthropy, and hasn't been so much about fundraising as it has really been about what is God doing? What's the vision?
Vision, yep.
What is God doing in the world, and where do financial resources come in to support that vision? I had a really, really close friend, still a very close friend, and I'm going to call out his name here, Dr. David Bixby, in case any of our listeners know the Bixbys. David and his wife, Renee, have been very, very dear friends of Heather's and mine and really sort of mentors in our life. It was probably about 11 years ago, 12 years ago, when Dr. Bixby began to talk with me about, first of all, getting my PhD, and I said, I don't have time for that. Who does have time for that? But he really began to impress on me. He said, I believe God's calling you to be a president of a Christian university somewhere in America, maybe here in Southern California, but somewhere in America. What I want to say to that is if somebody sees something in you and in your life that you don't see in yourself, you need to stop and listen to them and really commit that to the Lord. I didn't do that immediately. Mm. I kind of said, well, I'm not sure that I want to do that. I'm not sure that that's really what God's calling me to. And my friend David kept after me for several years and finally convinced me to start a PhD program in Christian leadership and higher education. And that was a whole nother process. But that really goes back to someone that spoke a word of truth into my life that I needed to hear, and I'm sure that I would be here if he hadn't come alongside me and spoken into me.
That is so powerful. We've talked before in the past just about how, you know, words bring life or death, but we don't have enough hope dispensers, you know, enough people dispensing hope and vision that come alongside you and say, I see something greater than you actually see. That. And then what would you say? That was 10, 11 years ago?
It was over a decade ago.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
And it led to, you know, getting into a PhD program and doing all the work and going to school full time. I'm in my late 40s and early 50s and having to go back to school. But he was there all along encouraging me. And of course, Heather was there encouraging me as well.
Amazing. And that another thing about that, it just shows you how God brings people at the different stages of your life to get you ready for where he knows you're going. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's amazing. So at what point in your time at Azusa did you start to go, I think change is coming, or something's different?
Yeah, it really was during my PhD program.
Wow.
And
okay.
So as I was going through the PhD program and looking more expansively at leadership and not only principles of leadership, but the application of leadership and asking myself with a set of, I'd say, open hands and open heart, God, what do you want to do in my life? What do you want to do through my life? But Heather and I have also had a number of other mentors in our life who have spoken into us together. And one of the high values that we have is that it's never just been about my job and where I go and you know, Heather being willing to follow. But we've always had this view that God is calling us into ministry and into life, into everything together.
Awesome.
So it's not my thing, her thing. Yeah. It's the together thing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as I was going through my PhD program, I became more and more open to the idea of leading an institution and an organization more at the macro level. Mm. And after 30 years in the profession of advancement, the work of fundraising and advancement, I became very motivated by the idea of taking that experience in that leadership to the organizational institutional level.
Wow. So when he started to go, I mean, you knew this was the ramp. I mean, he's going back, he's getting, you know, his PhD. Was there ever a point where you started to go, were you holding on to the door jam a little bit? Or was God doing the same thing in you, getting you ready for change?
I think he was getting me ready for change. I didn't see it being Minnesota, but who did?
Neither
really?
Did I.
Yeah. He thought about, being a professor, but president was always kind of, it just seemed like the right fit. So I thought it would be in Southern California.
We were willing to go about 100 miles.
Yeah, right.
You know, we were willing to be 100 miles away from our kids,
exactly.
Not 1,500 miles
right.
away.
Yes, right. Here am I, Lord, send them.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay, well, we're going to pause here on this break. When we come back, I want to see if we could tackle some questions about change, just people having, just want some wisdom on how they're navigating change. And then want to talk about how specifically God pointed out Northwestern and then what your internal process, as much as you're willing to share what that was like for you guys. Awesome. Talking to Dr. Corbin and Heather Hornbeek, Dr. Corbin is the president of University of Northwestern St. Paul and Northwestern Media, a massive organization doing great, great things in the kingdom. And we're so honored to have these two leading us. So grateful. We're talking about navigating change, making audacious choices and willingness to step out as God leads. But how do you do that with wisdom and discernment? We'll talk more about that on the other side. hope you're having a really fantastic day. We're having a great conversation today talking about, navigating change and daring to trust God. And I've been saying this on the show quite often lately, that God is moving all kinds of people around. It's like a chess match. He's strategically moving people for the times that we're in. And my guests today are one such couple, literally moved from California to Minnesota. And I know we've got listeners from around the world, but you need to know these two people, Dr. Corbin and Heather Hornbeek. Dr. Corbin is our new president for Northwestern Media and our university. And we're talking about just using their story even as a metaphor for life in a way where we can pay attention and how we seek counsel, how we navigate these times when God asks us to do something so wild and crazy, like move from California to Minnesota. I know I sound bitter, and I'm not. I'm just cold. But anyway, number of people have texted in about just saying that they so sense change as well. And this one, I like this question because it's it probably will speak to many, many people. I think she's asking it on behalf of many. She says, Susie, I love this topic. I've been feeling a yearning and a call to step out, but I have no idea what it is or what that even looks like. I sense change coming. Lots of time in prayer with hands wide open. I'd love for both of you to speak to it.
Oh, you bet. Well, first of all, change, I think at one level, Susie, we are always, always in a time of change. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's never a period of life where, we land on some lily pad and then we're just stuck there for good. There are times where we think maybe that would be nice. Mm-hmm. When I look back at the changes that Heather and I have gone through in life, the time of change is always accompanied by a time of preparation.
Excellent.
And that time of preparation, sometimes you don't even realize you're in that time of preparation, but the time of preparation can oftentimes include some really difficult things. I think my favorite character in all of Scripture is Joseph, and Joseph's life is such a good model for understanding that, of course, in his case, it was many, many years before God placed him in the place of influence that he had with Pharaoh. But it included some really difficult, painful things, things today we might even characterize as traumatic events in someone's life. And so what I would encourage your listeners, our listeners, as they're thinking about and praying about and sensing that maybe God is leading them into a time of change, to also embrace the time of preparation and some of those things that might actually be difficult. Those difficult things will contribute to their ability to be part of God's work down the road.
That's so good. One of my favorite Bible commentaries, is called Believer's Bible Commentary by William MacDonald. And when he speaks of Joseph, he says he calls it training time for reigning time. I love that because there's so much of that backstory was. But the thing about Joseph is that he seemed to have rightly interpreted his battles, because he didn't seem highly offendable. He seemed like he must have processed through the offenses in a way that put him in a good position because they kept promoting him and he was able to help people in every sphere that he was promoted to. So what an amazing story. Anything that you want to say, especially as someone who's walked through it and walking through adjusting to change?
Well, I would say also that preparation stage also was a big one for me. Two things that stand out to me is the first one is that I really did have a sense that God would reveal what the next step was, but then it also felt like we were waiting for so long to get that answer. And I just want to encourage everybody that waiting, in the waiting, God is always at work, and he's at work in a process as well as an outcome. And so I think in that season, he really is working and molding our character. And then finally at that 11th hour or whenever God chooses to reveal it, then there can be either excitement or it can be another season where there's an adjustment. And so I think just being faithful to listen to what he's doing.
And going with him, right?
Yeah.
Just each next step. How did the idea of University of Northwestern come up for you?
Honestly, I was working at my desk one afternoon and an email popped into my LinkedIn account from someone who said, I have nominated you for the presidency at the University of Northwestern. It was literally, sort of the meteor falling out of the sky into my virtual inbox.
Wow.
Interestingly enough, and it's amazing how God works through relational networks over you know, over time. But I had had several friends and, in fact, a former board member of University of Northwestern who I'd worked with for many, many years, who was very involved with the media ministry. He was the first person I called. And I said, Lauren, tell me about University of Northwestern. Is this a good deal or is this a bet? Should I run?
Yeah.
Should I continue to move toward it? And it turned out that he had also nominated me for the for the position. So, you know, the relationships are so important. But beyond that, you know, getting past the – and I think, honestly, Susie, I set it aside. The email came in. The call from the search firm came, and I just continued to set it aside and set it aside and set it aside. And the reason I set it aside, because I really didn't have any faith. I mean, I thought this would be a really, just looking at this on paper, this is a great opportunity, but there is no way that Heather's going to come with me. And then I think at one point when I finally had to bring it up to her, she said something like, I think you should apply for the job, and I don't want to move to Minnesota.
That's so, it. You can have the paradox.
That's right. So wow. I thought, you know, at that time, am I going alone?
Yeah.
Or is, you know, how's this going to work? Am I, you know, we're going to try to figure out how to work remotely. But through that entire process, boy, God just made it so clear. Mm. The doors just kept opening and opening, and we couldn't close them. We couldn't close them if we tried.
Wow.
The doors just kept opening. And, you know, it comes to that point where it is so clear. Mm. That God is leading. And the thing I want to say about that is when God leads and opens doors and he leads you to where he wants you to be, it doesn't mean that it's just perfect.
Right.
It doesn't mean that everything you've crossed the Jordan into the glorious promised land. Mm-hmm. There are still really difficult things that come with that. And yet, as Heather said before, the journey of surrender and obedience, there's beauty in that, and
so
there's
good.
Blessing in that.
Yeah, didn't the scripture talk about Abraham went to the new land, the place God had called him, as a foreigner? Like, he continually felt like a foreigner. And I think that's such an important point, because you get this kind of, almost if you get it in an unrealistic picture of what the next place of promise looks like, you often will leave before you leave. You'll emotionally leave before you leave. And then you'll get so disappointed when you get there, because there you are, right? Yeah. So I think that's such an important word. So here's the question I've been wanting to ask you, Heather. You are educated, equipped, and empowered. You really are, to help people heal. You care about families. But I think one of the reasons you and I hit it off so much is because we both care very much about the inner healing process. Mm-hmm. And that, I think Jesus cares much about mm-hmm. that. So if you could just do anything in the kingdom, what would it be?
I really want to get back into Christian counseling. So you have to have a license. So I'm currently working on transferring my license from California to Minnesota, but I just love to sit face to face with people when they're going through their time of brokenness, and we all have that. I know that when I've been in my seasons of brokenness, which there is always some kind of brokenness this side of heaven, I just know how comforting and faithful God has been. And since I've been able to sort of also watch the process happen in myself, I just delight in being able to encourage. I think encouragement is such a big thing when you're going through something difficult and through a season of change. You need encouragement because it's hard. Mm-hmm. You need hope. You need a forward perspective and trust. And I saw God do that in my own life with people and with him, and I just want to be able to sit with people and be that person also for them, along with the Lord and other people that he brings into their journey.
That's wonderful. And I will say, just a little bit of time I've gotten to spend with both of you, you both have such an accessibility about you. You both have a humility. And I think that's why everybody's just so cheering, because your walk with God is real. You're real people. And we do. This is the best place ever to work. We're so well led. And the atmosphere is great. And it just, there's not, like on the media side, there's not one ego in the bunch. We love mm-hmm. Jesus, and we love our listeners. And so when we met you, like Angie, my producer was saying, we're like, yes, because it's scary. It's like you were making a big, you know, change, but so are we. Mm. And what a blessing that God would allow it to be who you guys. So that, I can't even tell you what that means to us. So, you know, what do you love about this place? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but really, I mean, were there any surprises when you got here to go, wow, this is, I really appreciate this about this place?
Well, what drew us to this place, which continues to motivate and encourage us, University of Northwestern and Northwestern Media is so Christ-centered. So we hear that word a lot in Christian higher education. I don't think there's a Christian university in America that doesn't say we are Christ-centered. Mm. University of Northwestern and Northwestern Media is truly Christ-centered, grounded in Scripture, and motivated. I think this whole community is motivated to dig deep into the Scriptures, into the Bible, to understand what God is doing in the world and how can we align our lives with that. So I've been around a lot of Christian higher education, and there are some absolutely amazing places across this country, and you see God working in remarkable ways through Christian higher education in so many places. And I'm not saying this is an advertisement for University mm-hmm. of Northwestern. I'm saying this is a reality. Mm-hmm. This place is filled with God-honoring people, and our mission is to prepare God-honoring leaders for the home church community and our world. And so I am wonderfully surprised at how truly committed this place is to God's word and to living that out.
So good. When you think about if you could see anything happen, like if you think ahead to your days of retirement, you know, who knows where God's going to bring you, but just saying whatever your tenure is, you know, whatever your time, what if you could accomplish anything, you know, what would it be on both media and the university side?
Yeah. Oh, wow. So I have some really big dreams, and this is a little dangerous. You're giving me the opportunity to dream
Let's
a little
have
bit
it.
Here. Here's a dream, and I don't know if this will translate into a vision or not, but here's a big, bold dream. We live, and here's how I think the university and the media connect in a remarkable way. We live in a media-saturated world. I mean, this world, especially when you think of the lives of 20-somethings and 30-somethings and teenage kids today, I'm holding my iPhone right here. Mm-hmm. I mean, our world comes through media to us. So the news that we receive, the music we listen to, the messages that are coming in, we really do live in a media-dominated world. My dream would be that University of Northwestern and Northwestern Media play a major role in shaping how people understand God, God's love for them, God's word, how to respond to God, how to live out their lives for Christ in this world through every facet of media, whether that's making films, whether that's podcasting, social media, whatever. I would love for this organization to have a seat at the table in bringing God's redemptive work in the world through media. So do we end up with a school of communications and media and film arts? I would hope we would. I don't know if that's something that we can accomplish in the next 10 or 15 years, but I would dream that we would be able to influence and shape this world, the world of media.
Wow, I love it. You heard it here. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we'll tackle a couple of your texts, and then I want to go back to how you two met. I love a good love story. Can't help it. So first we'll get Corbin's version, then we'll get Heather's version. Every time my hubby tells people how we met, he's like, she crashed and burned. And I'm like, really? No, that's not how it happened. So sometimes there's two sides to every love story. So I'm talking to Dr. Corbin and Heather Hornbeek today. Great, great conversation. More with them in just a moment.
Hey, this is Carmen LaBurge, host of Mornings with Carmen on the Faith Radio Network. I'm seeking to reconnect the eternal with the everyday. I do that in part through conversations about today's relevant issues, hopefully helping to equip you to bring Christ back into every conversation in your life. You can subscribe to my daily podcast at myfaithradio.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And this is going to be a glorious
Hope you're having a really great day. We sure are in studio today talking to Dr. Corbin and Heather Hornbeek, and we're talking about navigating change. We're talking about daring to dream with God. So I've got one segment left, so I'm putting you on the spot, friend. If you could do anything for God, what would it be? If you could dare to dream and the sky was the limit, What would you want to do for Jesus? You can text me 877-933-2484. And I earlier had asked about, do you sense change coming? You're in transition. And Jenny writes in, she says, I'm praying for the power of the Holy Spirit to move away from sitting in anger and grief towards my prodigal and towards accepting God's will for my life. And she said, even perhaps even reaching out to other parents of prodigals and starting a support group of hope. I'd love for you both to talk about that because, you know, I love your honesty so much. And so often our pain, if we don't process it in a Christ-like redemptive way, we become almost ingrown. We start to feel alone because the enemy makes us feel like you're alone in this. But, you know, he has no new tricks. So the idea of taking what's hurtful to you and turning it into a redemptive calling is so powerful. Anything you want to say to Jenny?
Yeah. Well, when God puts something on your heart, bury that in prayer. Mm-hmm. Bathe that in prayer. And longtime mentors of Heather's and mine oftentimes said, what God does in you, he does through you. So we take the hardest things that we've experienced in life, and you can turn that into bitterness. You can turn that into anger. You can turn that into rage. You can turn that into a whole lot of things. Mm-hmm. And the reality is every one of us have some very painful things in our lives. And we can do a lot with that. That, you know, the scriptures talks a lot about a root of bitterness. Where do those roots of bitterness come from? Or we can surrender those things to God's redemptive plans and his purposes in this world. And mm-hmm. we know that God turns all things for good. It means he's sovereign over good, and he's sovereign over also those things that are not good, evil in this world. So if God has allowed you to go through some very difficult and painful experiences, it's quite likely that he is also going to prepare you to use those things to be part of his redemptive work in the
world.
Love
it. Love it. Anything you want to add?
I was just thinking, God created and gave us emotions. And I think a lot of times there's a process to those emotions to get to a redemptive place. Anger in a short form may be helpful, but it's how we take the truth of Scripture and how we process that with the people alongside of us and with God, where he takes that hurt and that brokenness and woundedness, and he takes us through a process where he beautifies and redeems and includes that difficult thing into our new story.
Mm,
and then
that
story becomes beautiful because there's a redemptive nature to it.
So well put. One of our listeners said, I would go to her as a counselor in a hot minute. So you got your first client there.
So
and I love this. This is so cute. Susie, have Corbin and Heather traversed to the Minnesota Holy Land, Highway 61 in the North Shore? Have you seen the North Shore yet?
No.
You gotta,
we drove up to Duluth in the fall, but we didn't get that. We didn't get past that.
Okay.
And so I realize we've got to go further.
Did you see the big hospital?
We saw the big hospital.
That's my husband's job. Anyway, he's building that thing. So anyway, I haven't seen him much, but he's coming. They're almost done. So we're really wonderful. Okay, I got to ask you, how did you meet? Heather, go first.
So we were both Young Life leaders at the University of Michigan. And it was funny because being around him made me nervous because I was talking to all the other leaders, but I didn't really talk to him. And then after we had known each other for maybe 6 months, he came over and...
Okay, stop. Why were you nervous?
I don't know. I think because I liked him. I had like a little crush.
So she postpones talking for 6 months. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we said hi, but
that's
no
so
deep
cute.
Conversations.
Yeah. Okay.
And then he came over and we talked for 7 hours straight. And wow. I remember my mom saying, she came out of her room with a little tear in her eye.
Aww.
And she said, that's very special. I knew there was something very special there.
Wow.
And then the funny part of it is like 3 weeks after we were dating, he's going to be embarrassed.
No, you can tell. you can go with the story.
But he said, he told me he loved me.
Aww.
And okay, wait. So me being an introvert, very like deep thinker, I was like, but you can't love me. You've only known me for 3 weeks.
She laughed at me.
Yeah.
She broke my heart.
No, but he was right. So now I realize, you know, it can start very early.
Yes.
So.
Well, he had 6 months to watch you from a distance. So.
And I was watching.
Yes, so, you know, exactly.
We were doing Young Life Ministry, right? We were trying to find a spouse. We were trying to find someone.
We're kidding.
Trying to find someone to marry. Yeah. But it was all under the banner of we're doing ministry and sharing Jesus with high school kids, right?
No, we were doing both.
Yes, we were doing both. Yeah. It was a great environment, and I think Susie, I mentioned at the beginning of our show today that when I was in high school, there were a couple Young Life leaders that followed me around, mm-hmm. and I was just not. I mean, they were trying to share Jesus with me, and I just wasn't interested. But I realized what they were doing, and they were being Jesus for me as a lost kid in high school. And so when I did come to faith during that freshman year of Michigan, I realized I need to do that. And so that's when I got involved with Young Life and met my bride.
That's amazing. That. So they planted seeds.
And
that became home for you, right?
And actually, years later, this probably 20 years after that, I found one of my Young Life leaders and called him out of the blue, just surprised him with a phone call. And I said, Bruce, I'm the kid who paid no attention to you in high school. And thank you for, planting seeds.
Amazing. Okay, yeah. I got to ask, though, when you first laid eyes on her, did you just like her right away?
Or? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look at her. She's so cute.
I was just slayed. We were talking about this the other night, and we're on the radio, so nobody can see. You can look her picture up. Heather's
so
gorgeous,
adorable. Yeah,
and beautiful both inside mm-hmm. and out. Mm-hmm. And I was a new believer, and so this was the first what I would call God honoring relationship mm-hmm. for me, and mm-hmm. it was really important for me to learn how to have a God-honoring relationship.
Beautiful.
And so I was drawn to her. You know, I was the bad boy, who came to Christ late in his life. Wow. Heather was the good girl who, gave her life to Jesus when she was 3 years old.
Yeah.
So I was drawn to her love for God, the sense of there was just purity. Mm-hmm. It was simplicity. And it was genuine.
Yeah. And depth. There's real depth there.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
How wonderful. So you said you loved her after a few weeks.
After 3 weeks.
That's adorable.
And she laughed at me.
But
I wouldn't quit.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. So how long did you date before you got engaged?
So we dated 5 years, actually, because I was 18 and he was 20. Mm-hmm. And it was a good season where we argued a lot, but we realized a lot of those things that we were dealing with were things that we would have had to deal with anybody, because there were some brokenness, relational types of things coming from our families mm-hmm. of origin. And so it gave us a long time to really work on some things. Mm. So that was good.
And so how did he ask you to marry him? And were you surprised, or did you kind of sense by now it was coming?
Well, I sort of overheard him ask my parents, but then it took him another 3 months. Mm. And so I was getting a little worried. I was like, maybe he's changed his mind. And then he surprised me on my birthday.
Wow. Yes. Way to go.
March 11th. Yeah.
Wow.
So I got to tell you this part of it, because it's a little funny. She did hear me she overheard me asking her parents for permission to ask her to marry me. And of course, between Heather and her mom, there are no secrets. So... So Heather knew, and about 2 weeks later, Heather calls me and she says, I found the perfect wedding dress. Can I buy it? I haven't even asked her to marry me. And I think I said something like, sure, you'll need it someday with somebody.
Oh my goodness. That sounds like me kind of getting things done.
That's
right.
Exactly. Heather is a high activator.
Yes, me too. Me too. Wow. Yes. Wow. So from when you asked her to when you got married, how much time transpired?
Yeah, well, at that point, we'd already dated for 5 years.
Yeah.
Who wants a long engagement period at that point? So we were married on July 16th of 1993, 7/16/93.
So only 4 months.
So only 4 months.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep.
We were ready to get married
quickly back then.
Yeah, right. Okay,
not
exactly.
Now, though.
Right, right. So how many years have you been married now?
It'll be 30 years.
Congratulations.
This July.
Go to the North Shore.
Well, so for our 25th wedding anniversary, we thought, with 25 years, this is great. We've never taken a vacation without our kids. That's the kind of family we are. We always vacation with our kids.
I probably needed to move away.
And so, exactly. So, for our 25th wedding anniversary, I said, this is great. Let's go to Hawaii. Let's do something just the two of us. And then the kids found out and they're like, you can't do that. You can't go to Hawaii by yourself. So we brought the kids with us.
Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, friends, as you're listening to these two dear people, be praying for them, because Corbin has no small job. And really, how exciting for you, Heather, to get your license. I mean, lots of people need help, and you're going to, God's going to use you in great ways. So that's, thank you. Thank you for making the move. I know it's not been easy, but I know God's going to redeem all of it. So,
thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you for thank how you're you. Leading and what you're doing. And
it's a privilege.
It is such a treasure. And well, I got probably just about another minute left. So I'm going to ask you this, if you can answer it about 20 seconds, what do you know about God now that you didn't know maybe 5-10 years ago, or maybe you just know it deeper about his character?
Yeah. That God is absolutely good all the time, in every circumstance.
That's awesome.
Regardless of what has happened in your life, whether it's something you've done or God is good. And I know we sing that in hymns and songs. Regardless of what you've been through, God is good.
That's right where I'm living too. Do you want to add any other thing other than that?
No.
He is good all the time. Thanks for joining us. I pray you'll come back again.
We
appreciate you.
Will.
Oh, so good. Wow, this was so fun. And I see a lot of people saying, I love this. This has been so great. This is amazing. I'm so grateful you found some encouragement here. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.